My name is Elizabeth Heflin. I'm 16 years old. Today is December 16th, 2017, and I'm speaking with Mabel Thacker, who is my great-grandmother. We are recording this interview in Spotsylvania, Virginia. So what was your most memorable childhood moment growing up?
I guess it was when my baby sister was born, because I'd been wanting a sister so bad. And we finally got that little sister. The doctor came to the house with his little briefcase, and of course that's where we thought they were, the babies were. We thought they were bringing them back then. We were not told the truth. And my brother had decided he was going to take off from school that day because we were getting that baby sister. And of course we did get her. But anyway, she was born, and while later, when she got bigger, we wished she didn't have. We didn't have. Because we babysit all the time, and that kind of changes the mood. But anyway, that was probably my most memorable childhood. I would think. I think so. I think that's it. On that one. But anyway, she made it. Now what?
So other than having to babysit, what were your other relationships like with your siblings?
Well, sometimes it's right rough.
Mm-hmm.
I learned to fight with those boys. One was 15 months younger than me, and the other one was a couple years. But the older one was kind of, I guess, bossy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was good, but he didn't need to pick on me and tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I was the oldest. But that's the way life goes. So I learned to get by with that, get around that one. And then I had another young man, and he was different. Well, all of us were really different when you stop and think about it. But he was a little different than that. But both boys seemed to have thought the little girl was the one that was really super, I think. Mm-hmm. That's the way I thought about it. And but the youngest one, he came around before the end of time and all, because all of them are gone now. I'm the only one left. So, and I keep saying life goes on,
mm-hmm.
and it does, so. But I'm just so glad that they were with us. I mean, for as long as they were, because the last one, he was about 83 when he passed away. And the other one, let me see, Lewis was 61, but he had an alcoholic problem, mm-hmm. so that probably helped him out. But and that's about all I did. We just had a good time. Well, they taught me.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Is that enough on that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
How did your parents affect who you are today?
Well, my mother was a great young lady.
Mm-hmm.
She passed away at 40. And she was... She could go out there and she decided to go plow the field or plow a garden or whatnot.
Oh, wow.
She'd go out there and get old Dolly. And Dolly loved my mother. Didn't love Daddy. He was rough. But she would get that little horse up there, put his harness on, take him out to the garden, plow, or out in the field, wherever she wanted to go. And it was really good seeing her do all this, because she loved to can. She loved to do housework. She loved to make my clothes. And she didn't have to have a pattern. I could tell her what I want, and she could make it, and which I can't do. But anyway, she was really good at things like that. And back then, we used feed bags.
Mm-hmm.
We would go to the fuel, the feed store, and she let me pick out the patterns that I wanted of the material, and we'd buy the feed and all. take it home and put it in the containers, and then she would wash the bags, and we would have this done or that done, and it was so cute. I come home from school one day, and there I got a new dress. And she made the sheets out of them. Of course, we usually had white sheets, but and we made curtains. She could just do anything. Mm-hmm. It was just, well, back then, I guess you almost had to because you didn't have much money. Because mm-hmm. they had been through the Depression and all. And most of those people, when they did something like that, they didn't have a whole lot of money mm-hmm. on the average. And Mom and Daddy decided to buy our place. I think it had 171 and half acres of land with an old house, and the house was really needing work on it when we got it. And Daddy did some then, some then. And it was 8 rooms, no bathroom, and no water in the house. And as I got older, I had to wind the water out of the well and put it in big buckets, put it on a wood stove, and heat the wood water. And by 1937, when my sister was born, we had gotten an electric washing machine, a Maytag.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we'd heat the water on the wood stove, then we'd carry it out to the wash machine on the porch. We had a long porch up there. So, and if it was raining, I hung the clothes out on the porch. I didn't go out in the rain. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, back then you had to iron all your clothes. Mm. They had all wrinkles. So we had to iron our clothes. And it was just so nice to have that electric washer when she passed away. Because I don't know how I would have done all that stuff mm-hmm. if we hadn't had one. And it's just so nice to think that we did have one comfort.
Yeah.
And somebody says, are you sure that y'all did this, that, and the other? I said, yes, I've been through it. And it could have been worse because mm-hmm. so many of my friends, they didn't have a washing machine.
And, oh, wow.
Oh, it was something back then. But Raymond's daddy got electric before we daddy did, and my daddy worked for the power company. So as soon as we could get the electric, we got it. And we were all delighted, I tell mm-hmm. you, just to have the electric and the could use our wash machine and all of that. And I don't know, it's just great to have a few things. Mm-hmm. And but back then none of us had water, you know, from the county. Mm. Back where we out there on, we lived on Route 3 mm. and we didn't have water and sewage, so it was nothing. Most of our neighbors were in the same boat we were in, mm. so that's the way the ball bounced back then. But it's just so nice. But talking about the alcoholic that I was working with, the boss came in and he wanted me to take another job, mm. and I had gone to the head boss of mine and asked him to talk to this man because he was throwing up in the trash can and mm-hmm. I couldn't take it. And he says, well, I can see one thing, you're really serious about something. I says, I am. And I want you to promise me that you will not fire this man. He needs his money. Mm-hmm. Now, I could have been mean, but he was good to me, mm-hmm. except for the throwing up in that trash can. And I says, I want you to just send him down to the doctor and have the doctor make him go to the AAs. And he says, okay, I'll do that. I said, now don't fire that man. Mm-hmm. He says, well, I won't. I says, his wife has already talked to me and she asked me to keep him. And then they sent me another man. They took him out of personnel, back then it was personnel, to come up to help me. Well, the poor fellow didn't know one end of what we were doing from the other. Mm-hmm. And he had a darn good job out of personnel. He turns to me and he says, "Mabel, behave yourself." I says, "Listen, I can't take all of this. Those men out there is giving him the liquor." I says, "He hasn't got money enough to buy it, so it has to be one of these supervisors giving it to him." I said, "It's not right." Mm-hmm. I says, "They know how he gets, and I've got to do the girl that I'm working with. She's out sick for another month," which wasn't necessary. I hate to say it, but it wasn't. And so anyway, I mean, here comes another big boss from down front wanting me to take another job. And I didn't know what was behind it, and I still don't to this day know why they wanted me to take the job out in personnel. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I kept saying no. They'd come up, "Mabel, do this, Mabel, do that." And this girl that was working with me at this time, she called, says, "Come here, what are you doing?" I says, "I can't tell you." She says, "If you're getting ready to leave here, I'm leaving too." I says, "I can't talk about it. They told me I can't talk. I'm not talking." Mm-hmm. So she says, "Well, I think I know what you're doing. They're asking you to go somewhere else." And she was really right. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, I can't do anything about it." I says, I'm just not doing nothing right now. So anyway, then that girl that was gone somewhere, I don't know where she was, but anyway, her husband started calling me and telling me to tell our boss such and such. And I got tired of it. I says, "No, mm-hmm. I'm not telling them nothing." I says, "Here, I'm going to get him on the line and you tell him." Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. So it worked out all right. And it was kind of personal. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to get into it. So anyway, so finally I took the job in personnel. And I really, after the plant shut down, I'm really happy about it. Mm-hmm. Because I got a better retirement, which wasn't too good. Mm-hmm. I'd been there 29 and a half years now.
Oh, wow.
I got $82.46 a month. Oh. And this woman, I wasn't old enough. Mm. I got credit for my time and all. And a little bit was better than nothing.
You know?
So this lady calls me up one day and she says, "Mabel, how much you get?" And I says, I can figure it. I can tell you. $82.46. See, I had to figure the retirements for the early men and women. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I did the best I could. And I says, "Well, a little bit of money is better than nothing. Mm-hmm. I'll take it. I'll spend it." And I says, "Won't buy much, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. Every little bit counts." And she says, "Mabel, do you feel that way?" And I says, "Yeah." And I do. Mm-hmm. Today I do. I laugh about it. I says, it wasn't much money, but it was something.
Yeah.
And I says, with a closing like this, I believe if they wanted to, they could have had federal government in here and saying we weren't going to get nothing. Mm. I really believe it could have happened, mm-hmm. especially to the women.
Yeah, especially back then.
Yeah. I don't know that they could, but they did on my daddy with VEPCO. He had the same retirement program that we had. And I had figured it out that they were all the same. So Daddy sent me to Richmond on his because they did not give him what they had said they'd given. But the federal government had allowed him to do it. So mm-hmm. it was nothing you could do. That was for the men down there. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, it's not so bad after all. But I did go to Richmond with Daddy's problem. And he got a little bit more money. So they didn't want to talk to me because he wouldn't go with me. But I says, well, he sent me, and that's what the message was when I called down here, so forth and so on. But, so they did give him a little bit more money. So anything Daddy wanted done, he normally sent me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh. And I don't know why, mm-hmm. but he would say, Mabel, you do it.
Was this after you were 18 or before?
After.
Oh, wow.
After as well as before. Mm. Yeah. Because I would have thought he'd have sent Pearl.
Yeah.
Because she drove, I didn't. And then when I got my license, he was tickled pink. But the whole time that he should have been pushing me to drive, he didn't say nothing.
Oh,
no. And I didn't care about driving because I had Raymond. I was going with Raymond. Mm-hmm. He'd take me where I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And it's strange how our parents are, really. Because, mm-hmm. see, Mama had passed away by the time, before he'd retired or anything. Mm-hmm. And, we had it kind of rough at times, I tell you. Mm-hmm. But life goes on. Mm-hmm. That's my thing. Life goes on for all of us. Mm-hmm. And somebody the other day was talking about it. I says, life goes on. They said, yeah, we heard that. They're tired of hearing it. But it's
true.
The truth. Mm-hmm. So I says, oh, well. Is that enough?
Yeah.
About all I know on that one.
So what was your relationship with my great-grandpa Raymond like, especially when you guys first started dating? And how did you guys meet? I guess start with that.
Well, Raymond and I met, Mama died in April of 46. He got out of the Navy just, I think, before that. But I hadn't, I think we had known each other distantly from school, because mm-hmm. he's 5 years older. But we didn't know each other.
Yeah.
I knew some of his family. I knew most of them. But anyway, I didn't know Raymond. And, of course, I'd lost track of him because he worked at the plant before I did. And he didn't like the plant. They wanted him to come back when he got out of the Navy, and he told them no.
Oh, wow.
He didn't want to go back. Shift work. Mm. I don't blame him.
Yeah.
So, anyway, he just told him no. He did not want to come back down there. And I don't know if they contacted him or not, but I imagine they did. And he said no. So he left that one go. And then he wanted construction work. Mm-hmm. So that's what he went in for, different mm-hmm. builders and all. And when he was over there in Guam, he was doing something with the roads and all, mm-hmm. Building roads and things. But he knew it was Japs in these foxholes and things, so they had mm-hmm. to be careful. He went, I guess, a year or two after Pearl Harbor.
Okay.
I think he was glad to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And he only served a little over 2 years. But I know his mother was glad when all of them got home, because it was three or four of those boys in the service. Mm-hmm. And probably at the same time, I don't know, or pretty close. The older one probably didn't go as soon as these others, because he had about five or six kids. So mm-hmm. that held you out a little bit. But, I don't know, but anyway, Lewis, my oldest brother, mm-hmm. He had a car, he'd gotten mm-hmm. a car, so he would take us out riding, and out on Route 3, they had these big dips,
mm-hmm.
well, he would go over those and you hold your stomach, but if my daddy had to see that, we'd have never gotten to go out nowhere. No, daddy didn't know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it was comical, because I had to go home and fix supper. And my supper had to be on that table at 5 o'clock.
Oh, for all of your siblings?
All of them, mm-hmm. yeah. And of course, the boys weren't home usually, because Lewis would let me out and then they would go someplace, because they knew I better have it meal on the table for Daddy, even if he wasn't home. It had it had to be that. And it's funny now more so than what it was then.
Yeah, sure.
Because I couldn't go where I wanted to go, really. Mm. And even though doing things like Lewis did, and we'd go to a school ball game. Mm-hmm. I went down to the Chancellor School. It was over there on this side. I had a little field for him to play or something. And we'd go, and we'd sit out on that dirt and grass and watch the ball games, things of that type. And then it was one girl there that I think they she had called herself Sin Raymond, I think. And she had been in senior class with me at school. Mm-hmm. And it was just so funny because there she's perched up beside me. And it was just so funny when you stop and think about it. One day I was talking to her about something and she started telling me all about Raymond. I said, yeah. And she didn't know, I guess, at the time, maybe that I was dating him. I don't know what else, but it didn't matter. So it was fun times. Mm-hmm. But when I got home, it meant get to work. But it's just, as I say, it's just life. You just keep on going. And then when, I can tell you about the day Mama died. Mm. My mother had some type of surgery, and I think it was on her rectum. Mm-hmm. We had no idea that anything would ever happen to her because it was supposed to be such a minor surgery. And what happened that day was she grabbed her heart. She was gone. Mm. Of course, I didn't have sense enough to know that she was dead. I go sailing down across the field. We had no telephone. Mm. And the first house I went to was the preacher's house. They were not home. He or his wife, daughter, his wife had been dead for some time. I never did see her. But he and his daughter were gone. So then I ran across the road to one of the farmers. And Mr. Gordon let me use his phone. I called the power company and told him to tell Daddy to come home. Things had gotten kind of rough. And I didn't say she had died because I didn't know it. Mm-hmm. And then what I did was he carried me back home. And as the meanwhile, the bus had let the three kids off at the end of the house road, and they had walked up, and he hollers out, "Your mother is dead." Mm. And those children were basket cases when I got to the house. Mm. Because he shouldn't have said anything until I let me do the telling. Mm. And I was only 17, and she was 40. This was 1946. And so I knew if I told my daddy that she was really worse off, that he would just fly home. Mm. Of course, back then, there was not much traffic on these roads out here. And he flew home, basically. I mean, he really took that car for all it was worth. Mm-hmm. And he got home, and I had called the doctor. Back then, the doctors came to your house. Mm. And he told me that it was not anything I had done. Well, I didn't think it was anything I'd done. Only thing I did was to get her up out of bed. She'd been in bed. She had surgery, and she stayed in the hospital for about a week. And then she took and went to get up, and that was, I'd say she'd been she'd probably been in bed close to a week at home, and it was a blood clot. Mm. And she was basically just gone. There was nothing we could do. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how some of those people found out she had passed away. Even our family, because I didn't call them.
Oh, really?
But somebody called them, and they got there. And then the next day, Dad and I went down and made the arrangements and everything. But that was an ordeal, really.
I'm sure.
Because I had never seen anybody. Well, I didn't see her die. I just saw her grab herself. And like I said, she was just gone.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a learning experience.
Oh, I'm sure.
But it's just one of those things. You have to do what you have to do.
Mm.
But that's about all of that.
Mm-hmm. So looking back, how do you think you're similar to your mother?
Well, I said I'm not at all. And several of my nieces not long ago says, look at this picture, you look just like her.
Oh.
I said, no, I look like my daddy. They say, certain way, you do look like your daddy.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a certain way you look like your mother. And I think with my hair, the dark hair,
mm-hmm.
my daddy was like redhead.
Oh, wow.
And we had a lot of redheads. And mama had more curls than I have. And my children don't want curls.
Oh.
They do not like my hair. I says, well, it'd be nice if you got them. Well, that's no way now, but anyway. No, mama had good, she could do anything with her hair and make it do anything she wanted, basically, to do.
Oh, wow.
I can't do that. Of course, I don't have the hands to do these things, but, or whatever it takes. But it was, she was pretty good about fixing her hair, and she made her clothes. And after she passed away, I wore her clothes to Mary Washington College.
Oh, wow.
I sure did.
I bet she really looked like her then.
But I saw no reason to throw her clothes away.
Mm-hmm.
So I wore them. I had to hem them up. She was taller than myself. Mm-hmm. But they came in handy. So that's a whole lot of things that can be done sometimes when you... Well, I really needed to because I didn't have very much money.
Mm-hmm.
And like the first Christmas after her death, she died in April. So, of course, in December, they had to have something underneath that tree.
Mm-hmm.
And my oldest brother, he was making more money than me. So I figured, nah, I've got to do for the youngest boy and the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting ready to get married.
Mm.
Well, that meant I had to take some of my money. Daddy never mentioned the Christmas coming up. So I took it upon myself to buy clothing for Roy, the youngest one, because he needed so many clothes by this time. Or I thought he did. Anyway, I bought them.
Mm.
And then the girl, Pearl, she needed clothes. He still didn't say anything about Christmas. So I used my own wedding money.
Oh.
And then I got scared of spending too much, you know. But one thing, I got my wedding dress for about $25.
Oh my goodness.
They made a special, the people made a special request for, I wanted a light blue dress.
Oh, that's so pretty.
And because I wasn't having a big church wedding or nothing. Mm-hmm. And so I told them what I wanted, how I wanted it made, and they found one.
Wow.
And they sent it to me, and it fit perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly. So anyway, I had my dress and all, and that to me was the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then as time went on, I got everything bought and paid for from my money. My daddy never did say nothing about Christmas. So I let Christmas go and did what I could. And then my oldest brother, he comes in and he says, Mabel, I didn't get but one present. Well, I didn't have but so much money. And I got my wedding coming up. And I says, you make more money than I do. So that was the end of that one. But Daddy never did say anything about that first Christmas after Mama died. So, and we had two robberies. Ooh, two. One was way back, and My mother had a, Roy, my little brother, was sick, and she had him in the dining room, and she heard some commotion in the cellar. Y'all know what a cellar is?
Like the basement? Or you...
It's just, well, it's usually a dirt flooring.
Okay.
And it's not like off ass basements now. Not like mine, anyway. Mm-hmm. Thank the Lord. But anyway, we had that filled up with Irish potatoes and sweet potatoes for the winter. And all of Mama's canned goods. My mother canned an awful lot. And I'm going to move this.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. So I can see your face. But it is just so, when you stop and think about these things, she got up out of bed, walked over through the parlor, mm-hmm. the hall, and then where Daddy was sleeping, and she told him, she says, Elba, it's somebody in the basement. So he gets up and plops his big feet, you know, through the house. Well, over top of the kitchen was where the cellar was under it. Mm-hmm. They heard him, quiet as church mice. And it was raining outdoors, cats and dogs, and we had a big wash thing, tub outside on the wall. Well, it was beating on that. And, oh, Alpha, it's just that rain hitting the tub. So he goes back to bed. He gets up the next morning, he comes back in, he says, Alpha, they robbed us. They left us a hog joel. Oh. That's just a half of a hog head. Oh. So, called the cops. That was a lost cause. Mm-hmm. So, years on later, mm-hmm. We went to visit Daddy's brother on the other side of town. Mm-hmm. And we still lived here on Route 3. Because most of my time was lived out here. It was mm-hmm. right there at that same old house. And so anyway, here we go down to see Uncle Broadus. And we came home early. Well, these people, at that time where I lived on Route 3, between that and the park, there was not one house. Nothing in between us. Mm-hmm. So these people has been sitting up there in the park watching us what time we left and what time we came back. Mm-hmm. They had us down pat. So one night we were out checking. We went down to Andor Drive and all the way around, made a circle a couple times. By this time they're realizing we're watching them. Mm-hmm. So they move on. So we turn around, come back. Well, this... That was another one night. Then another night, we go out and we had been down to Uncle Broadus's again, and we kind of float around looking. Well, anyway, we started following them. They headed to Richmond, and of course, Daddy had to get gas, so we lost them. Mm-hmm. So we never did find out who was in that vehicle, but. One night, I looked at Daddy, I said, that's Uncle Benny. It was kinfolks.
He was the one who robbed you? Uh-huh. Oh, wait, that's Uncle
Not Benny. That one, but it was another brother.
Oh.
We thought it was Uncle Benny because he'd served time in prison. Mm-hmm. So we just always put everything on Uncle Benny. And he told us it wasn't him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's hard to believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I haven't found out... this part, that it wasn't Uncle Benny until Daddy died. So Daddy went to his grave thinking still it was Uncle Benny. And Uncle Benny turned to me. I went to see Uncle Benny. And he was in the hospital but ready to die. And they called me and told me to come see him if I wanted to see him. And I said, okay. Mm-hmm. So I went by going to a doctor's visit and I went on in. I finally found the hospital. So went in there, and he was just so happy to see me. Mm-hmm. And he says, your daddy knows that I didn't steal the, break in his second time. Mm-hmm. But they had, when we got home that night, we went in, and the house is the biggest mess you've ever seen in your life. Everything, it was horrible. Had daddy's new clothes mama had bought for him for work. Piled up on the bed, ready to go. Had the stuff Mama had gotten for Daddy's mother and That was piled up, ready to go. And all over the house, stuff piled up, ready to go. So, anyway, when we got out of the car, we had to walk to the porch. And when we walked in the back hall door, they walked out the front hall door.
Oh, wow. They had it planned out.
Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, they went on to the park and got away from us, so nothing we could do, and it called the police, but police never did find anything. Mm-hmm. So it's funny how things happen, and mm-hmm. I'm glad I finally found out who did it. One of my cousins told me, and he seemed to know a whole lot about this stuff, but he's just a kid back then. Mm-hmm. He's not as old as I am. And not too long ago, a year or so ago, when I saw him last, he has one of these big water heads. I don't know if y'all have ever seen anybody with the big head. It was something when he was delivered, I guess. It's kind of, maybe his skull was soft or something. It was something. But it's a name for it. I just don't know what it is. And the poor boy, we were taught to treat that child as if there's nothing wrong with him. Well, the other day, not a year or so ago, he turns to me, he says, "You and I are the only ones, the real first cousins." I said, "Oh no, we got another one." I says, "Viola." "Oh, she's a snub." So, he didn't care for her.
Yeah, I guess so.
I said, "Well, she hasn't been a snub to me. She writes to me." He says, "She does." I said, "Yeah." But it's so cute, things like this come up. And he has written to me just recently. He's in a nursing home. Come to see him. He likes me.
You're the first cousin that he likes.
I says, "I don't know if I'll get down there for Christmas or not, but it's a shame when you know, somebody's like that." And he has a problem eating his food. I don't know what has done that, but my dad said, "Mama, I can't sit beside him and eat." I says, "I don't even pay attention to it." She said, "Well, you go sit beside him the next time." And poor, she said, "Mama, you sit here." I says, "Well, it doesn't bother me at all." Mm-hmm. So I guess it was the way Mama taught us how to work with him and all. And I told him about some things that he had done at our home when he came to visit. I said, "Do you remember that?" I knew he didn't because he was a little tiny. He said, "No." I said, "Well, you did it." And he kind of laughed at me, but he thought I was joking, but I wasn't joking. But it's cute with when some of these things happens, not at that time.
Years later, looking back, I'm sure.
Yeah, like these things I've been telling. But it is, it's comical. But as I said, I've had a lot of fun. And I've had a hard time. But I think the good times overdoes the bad times, you know? And as I say, I sit and laugh about a lot of them, but it's fun. And the one thing that really got to me was my mother's death. She died at 40. She was 40 years old. And it was four of us kids, and I happened to be the oldest one. And sometimes it got real rough, but I learned to fight with them. I mean fight. One time Daddy was mad with my youngest brother, and he would use a whip.
Oh.
Yes, and Daddy, y'all don't know nothing.
Oh my gosh.
I went to him. Anyway, I got scared that he was going to kill him. You know, back then, the law wasn't like it is now. And so anyway, he took that whip, and I thought, ugh, and I jumped right in the middle. Mama was dead. Somebody had to take up for that boy. I jumped right in the middle. And before he died, I said, "Daddy, do you remember the time you hit me with that whip?" "Well, it was your fault." And he meant it. You know, mm-hmm. I jumped in there. I shouldn't have done it, is what he was saying. And maybe I shouldn't, but I'm scared something's going to happen to my little brother.
Yeah.
And I just took right over. And I'd have done it for, I don't care whose kid it was, I mm-hmm. imagine. But he didn't beat him anymore. He left me alone, too, after I got my 4 or 5 stripes on my legs. I was in college. Oh. I wore whelps to college, but I wore knee-high socks.
Oh, my goodness.
In the summer. But back then, the kids down there wore anything, any time of the year. I don't know what you all are doing now. This is at Mary Washington. And he just looked at me and he says, well, it was your fault.
So there's only 4 minutes left. But I guess one of the last questions is, what are your hopes for me and what advice do you have for future generations for our family?
Just keep working. Mm-hmm. That's all I know. I tell you, so many things are changing right now, mm-hmm. almost in eyesight. It's hard to say what's going to happen anyway, I tell mm-hmm. you, because things in the laws and everything are just changing so much. Mm-hmm. It's no way somebody like me could say what I thought would want to change. Mm-hmm. Because back when I went to school, like I told you, it was not, the women just didn't have much say-so. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, we have so much more. Mm-hmm. Which is good, because women got a brain too, mm-hmm. is the way I look at it. And some of them are smarter than some of the guys, mm-hmm. really. But with my employments that I had, I used to think about all this stuff more. So, well, I've been retired for 20 years, so I'm 89. I'm an old woman. But I'm proud of it. And now it's so funny when I see somebody and they are say something to me and I says, I'm 89. I did that over here when they moved in. I says, I'm old. I'm 89. But I'm proud of it. And I think you should be proud of your age. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I've done so much or anything like that. It's just the fact, I feel like God has blessed me. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I know He has. To think that Mama died at 40, Daddy was 82, and Lewis was 61. Pearl was the day before her 67th or 68th birthday, mm-hmm. and Roy was 83, I think. He hadn't been dead very long. But I just think it's so great that we've done it as well as we have. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just glad I made some of the choices in my jobs, because I'm glad I went to Mary Washington and got the retirement that I got. Mm-hmm. They gave me such a good retirement. And it just means a lot that I'm still here, I tell mm-hmm. you. But and you have to look at the good things as well as you do the bad things. Mm-hmm. But you learn to laugh with some of those bad things. Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah.
Oh, golly. But I had one of the best mothers I think I could have ever had, even though she died so young. I mean, they just stick out little things that she did and all and how she did them. As I say, I used to get agitated with my dad and my brothers. And my sister, too. But it's just one of those things. Mm-hmm. Did I answer all your questions?
Yes.
I did.
Thank you so much for interviewing with me.
You're welcome. All right. I'm just afraid.